Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar, Virtual Advising for the Western Hemisphere. Today, we're going to look at what's available in the Western Hemisphere on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, and I'm going to give some general information and advising on applying to awards throughout the Western Hemisphere. So my name is Peter Rauschy. I'm in the Outreach and Recruitment Division of the Institute of International Education, and I'm here today to, again, present on opportunities in the Western Hemisphere and how to strategize a strong application for one of the awards in the Western Hemisphere. So let's start with some general information about the Fulbright Program. The Fulbright Program was established in 1946. It was initiated by then junior senator from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright, with the idea of building mutual understanding between people of the United States and the rest of the world. This is really important historically, but also it resonates with what makes a strong application for the Fulbright Program. So yes, we want to absolutely support your project in teaching and research, but you have to understand the concepts of the foundation of the Fulbright Program and be able to articulate, you know, how your project fits into that framework. Understanding that you as a Fulbrighter, you are an ambassador, and it's key to making a strong application to articulate that point and how it relates to your project. The Fulbright Program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, specifically the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and is administered in the U.S. by the Institute of International Education. As a Fulbrighter, you're in great company. We've had about 380,000 awards administered since the beginning of the program. We sent about 800 scholars abroad a year. We work with 160 participant countries throughout the Fulbright umbrella of programs, but for the scholar program, we work with about 125. And this webinar, again, is going to be focused on opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. But as you can see, you're in great company as a Fulbrighter. Our alumni include heads of state, Pulitzer Prize recipients, and folks with many, many other prestigious awards and accomplishments that fit into their academic and professional lives. General eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program includes the information on this slide. So you do have to be a U.S. citizen for the U.S. Scholar Program. If you're not a U.S. citizen, there is the Visiting Scholar Program, which brings international scholars to the United States. But this award, this webinar, what we will focus on is the U.S. Scholar Program to send American citizens abroad. For scholar programs, you want to understand the parameters of the awards and understand what the award is looking for in terms of profile. Many awards will require a PhD or other terminal degree. Many awards in the core program are open to applicants who have master's degrees and professional or academic experience. So I'll actually show you how to find that information and show you how to understand the profile that the award is looking for. Many awards are open to professionals and artists outside of academia. And if you're applying to a teaching award, you'll want to have teaching experience as expressed in the award description. So again, if the award that you're applying to and the project that you're proposing involves teaching, there are generally some notion of what is the expected level of teaching experience in the award. There are new policies on previous Fulbright scholar grants, so there used to be a limit to the number of grants you could receive in your lifetime. There is no longer that limit. You can receive as many grants as you are competitive to receive. However, you do have to wait 2 years between the end of one Fulbright U.S. scholar grant and the application for another. What's really, really key to your application and making a strong application is finding the right award. So you'll want to search the award by any, you'll want to search our catalog of awards by any number of different criteria. Our search functions include region, country, discipline. There are many, many, many ways to search for awards. I'm actually going to show you how to do that. It's really important to start your search very broadly and then narrow it down to awards that are of interest to you, awards that either feature what you're hoping to do or can support what you're hoping to do. And as we can see in the Western Hemisphere, as we will see, we have awards that are very, very specific Then we have awards that we refer to as all disciplines awards, which tend to be much more open-ended. So let's get a quick overview of the Western Hemisphere. We have 28 countries represented on the scholar program in the Western Hemisphere, everything from Canada to Chile. There are 55 award offerings in the region and approximately 195 grants available. That means that of the 55 awards, many of the awards offer multiple grant opportunities. So for example, Brazil has an all-disciplines award that offers 30 grants. That means that 30 people will be funded under that award. Some of our countries, though, the awards only have one grant or two grants. You'll be able to see that in the award description. And again, I will demonstrate the catalog of awards to show you where you can find relevant information. Let's start with a very quick overview of what's available in specific countries and regions in the Western Hemisphere. Let's start from the north and work our way down. Let's start with Canada. So Canada has a wide variety of awards, including an All Disciplines Award. There's a postdoc award in Northern Issues in Canada that's appropriate for someone who has recently received a doctoral degree, and this award will be hosted at the University of North British Columbia. Then there's Distinguished Research Chair Awards at Carleton University, where you would be hosted at Carleton University in one of four different opportunities. So that, you know, this is three awards that are, three of the awards in Canada, but then most of the other awards in Canada fall under the category of research chair. These are very unique awards. They're themed awards. There are pre-identified hosts in the award descriptions, and you want to rank the hosts in your proposal. Letters of invitation for the Research Chair Awards are not required. So what you'll want to do is, if you're interested in topics in the arts, for example, you might want to look at the Research Chair in Arts, Humanities, and Culture. If you're interested in, say, environmental sciences, there's an Environmental Science Research Chair in Canada, and you have the opportunity to apply to that award and be considered for possibly other opportunities under that award. And I'll open one of the Research Chair Awards in Canada to show you what that looks like and how you can get information about those kinds of awards. They are very unique awards, and they are specific to Canada, these themed awards with pre-identified hosts. So for the All Disciplines Award in Canada, you do have to find a host institution and get a letter of invitation. For the Research Chair Awards, you do not have to get a letter of invitation. Mexico. Mexico has many wonderful awards. There's a postdoc award similar to the award in Canada. This is an award appropriate for someone who is, a recently conferred doctoral degree. We have a very unique award in Mexico, the Fulbright Scholar Border Program, where you have to be affiliated with a U.S. institution that borders Mexico, and then you get an affiliation in Mexico that borders the U.S. In that award description, there's a lot of information that's specific to that award. We also have a Science and Technology Award, a Social Science and Humanities Award, a Teaching English as a Foreign Language Award, a U.S. Studies Chair Award, and then the regional award, the Carlos Rico Award, which allows you to go to Canada and Mexico. It's the only regional award in the Western Hemisphere. So as you can see, Mexico has a number of themed awards similar to Canada, and some of these awards in Mexico do not require a letter of invitation. That will actually be written into the award description. Some of these awards, COMEXIS, the Fulbright Commission in Mexico, will actually place you or make a placement decision for you. We have an archive webinar specific to Canada. We also have an archive webinar specific to Mexico. That is going to be on, those will be hosted, they actually are hosted currently on our webinar archive, and you have those at your disposal. So absolutely feel free to refer to those webinars if you want more information on the award opportunities in Canada and Mexico. We also have a Brazil webinar, which brings me to Brazil now. So we have archive information that goes in depth about these different awards in Brazil, Canada, and Mexico. But let's talk about Brazil. Brazil has an All Disciplines Award. That is an award where you're designing your own project and finding a host institution in Brazil. There are 30 grants under this award, meaning that 30 people can be funded under the All Disciplines Award in Brazil. Brazil also, though, has a number of more specific awards, so including the Postdoctoral Award in Natural Sciences. There's also the Distinguished Chair of International Relations at the University of Sao Paulo. And the Pacepi Award, the Distinguished Chair in STEM plus Computer Sciences, which is essentially, you would be hosted at an institution in the state of Pernambuco in Brazil. Then we also have the Distinguished Chair in Public Policy at EIPP, the Fundação João Nabuco in Brazil as well. So as you can see, there's the All Disciplines Award, which is very open-ended, where you're designing your own project and finding a host. But then we also have very, very specific awards that, for example, the Distinguished Chair in International Relations, you know, that's a smaller set of disciplines, and you're at a particular host institution in Brazil, the University of Sao Paulo. Let's look into other opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. So there are two awards to Colombia. There's the All Disciplines Award in Colombia, which again is a sort of open-ended award that where you're designing your own topic and finding a host institution in Colombia. And then we have the Universidad Nacional de Colombia Distinguished Chair in Biodiversity and Sustainable Development. So that's a much more focused award. There's a focused set of preferred disciplines, and you're hosted at a particular institution in Colombia, the Universidad Nacional de Colombia. We also, we are working on making the opportunity in Venezuela live. It is not available in our catalog yet, but it will be available soon. It's going to be an all disciplines award. It will only have a flex option, and I'll explain more about flex options in a little bit, but flex options generally are a way for you to segment your grant and not be away from the entire length of the grant activity. There will be conditions on the awards to Venezuela, special considerations. There are contingencies around the ability to receive a visa from the government of Venezuela, but we expect to have Venezuela live in the catalog very soon. Then in the Southern Cone, we see some opportunities across Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay. In Argentina, we have two themed awards, very broad themes, science and technology, and then social sciences and humanities. So depending on what discipline your project is, you should consider one or the other in Argentina. In Chile, we have a similar structure. We have the science and tech and social sciences, humanities, and education awards. So you, again, depending on the discipline of your project, you'd want to look at these two awards. But we have a very special award in Chile that focuses on astronomy and Antarctic studies, and it's intended for postdocs, early career scientists. In Paraguay, we have an All Disciplines Award, which is very, very similar to other All Disciplines Awards in that you are designing your own project and finding a host institution in the country. In Uruguay, we also have an All Disciplines Award, but then we have a specific award in Uruguay focused on agriculture, where you're hosted at INIA, projects that are either related to agriculture or environmental sciences. The Western Hemisphere has many, many All Disciplines Awards, and you'll see much of our catalog, most of the countries in West Hem offer an All Disciplines Award. There are 23 countries available in the Western Hemisphere currently, and there'll be 24 with Venezuela. They support a variety of activities. They're generally open to all disciplines, but many may have preferences, and I'll show you where you can find if there are preferred disciplines in All Disciplines Awards. I'll show you where you can find that institution, or where that information, rather. And generally, All Disciplines Awards are open to a variety of host institutions. However, many countries in the Western Hemisphere specify or prefer particular host institutions in their countries, so you'll want to pay attention to that as well. But there are All Disciplines Awards available in all regions of the Western Hemisphere, and you know, 23 countries currently, and we expect Venezuela to be available shortly. We're finding how a Fulbright can work with you, I want to introduce some considerations that you may not have thought about before. In terms of flex options, so many of our grants are not, they don't have a flex option, meaning that you have to be away for the entire length of the grant. But many of our awards in the Western Hemisphere offer a flex option, meaning that you're able to segment your grant activity over 2 years. So for folks who aren't up for sabbatical, for people who are, you know, have, you know, scheduling considerations where they can't necessarily be away for a full 9 months, a flex option may be something that you can consider and fit into your schedule. So definitely consider countries and awards that offer the flex option. Also, depending on what your profile is, where you are in your career, we have awards that are appropriate for postdocs, all the way up to distinguished chair, and everything in between. In the Western Hemisphere, we have one regional award, as I mentioned, the Carlos Rico Award, where you would go to Canada and Mexico, and you would split your time evenly between those two countries and work on issues related to North America at large. We also have in the catalog at large, we have the Global Scholar Award. So that's an opportunity that allows you to go to two or three different countries. They must be in two different world regions, though. So you could do one Western Hemisphere country or two Western Hemisphere countries as long as there was another country outside of the Western Hemisphere on the Global Scholar Award. For many of our awards, home affiliation is not required in the U.S. Our awards are open to independent scholars, professionals, scholars emeritus, you know, depending on the particular award requirements. And I'll show you where to find that as well. What I want to do now before I go into the application, I want to actually demo the catalog of awards for you and show you how to find information. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause sharing my screen for just a second as I pull up the catalog of awards. And that way we are, you know, I can show you how to find information, which will help you as you're crafting your application. So awards.ciez.org, that is our website for our catalog of awards. And when you come to the website, you see this general search function. You can search by region. You can search by country, you can search by discipline. These are very broad search criteria, but let's search for Western Hemisphere and see what we have in the catalog of awards. So we see the 55 awards available. But just by searching Western Hemisphere. But once you click the initial search, you get a lot more search functions. So here we have the regional search. Let's collapse that. We can search again by country. We can search if awards offer multiple country opportunities, so the Global Scholar Award, for example, or the Carlos Rico Award. We can search if, you know, most of our awards are to only go to one country, but about a dozen of our awards are multi-country. In the Western Hemisphere, though, the only opportunity is the Carlos Rico Award to go to more than one Western Hemisphere country. We can search by discipline as well, so these are very, very broad search fields. But you can get an idea of how to start a broad search and then drill down. We can also search by activity. Is the project a professional project? Is it does the award support teaching? Does it support research? Does it support a combination of teaching and research? We can search by grant length. So we can see if an award is, you know, does it offer the flex grant? Or, you know, how long is this award? We can search by degree requirement. Does the award require a doctoral degree or other terminal degree, or does it not require a terminal degree? We can search by category. Is it a Distinguished Chair Award? Is it open to folks in their early careers? Is it a postdoctoral award? We can search by professional profile. Is it open to academics? Is it open to folks outside of academia? Is it open to higher ed administrators? Then we can even search by the requirement of a letter of invitation. We have every iteration of this from letter of invitation should not be sought all the way up to letter of invitation is required. So this and everything in between. So you can search for information you know, based on all of these very broad criteria. And what I always tell folks to do is to start with the broad criteria and then drill down to find more specific information. So let's look at an All Disciplines Award. Let's look at the All Disciplines Award to Bolivia. So when you open the catalog of awards, what happens is you see four you see four tabs that open. I'm going to maximize this. Great. So you see four tabs that open: award details, award requirements, award benefits, and a country area overview. Let's start with the award details. We can see that the All Disciplines Award to Bolivia supports teaching, supports research, and a combination of teaching and research. This award is open to all levels of scholars except for early career, and a PhD or other terminal degree is required. There are approximately two grants available, and the grant length is anywhere from 2 to 9 months. For grants over 3 months, you must apply for a flex grant. So of course, with that information, you realize that there is a flex option. And then there are some parameters on how to schedule a flex option. So in your proposal, you'll want to pay attention to, you know, any kind of grant length requirements, or if you're applying for flex, really understand the parameters of the flex grant and write your proposal accordingly. Discipline types, discipline type shows you, you know, any kind of parameters. This award is an all disciplines award, but it has specific preferred disciplines: American Studies, Education, Environmental Sciences, Public Health, and Urban Planning. So you can apply for this award outside of these areas of focus, but the country has expressed a preferred these preferred disciplines. Under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation is required. We can also see that the language requirements are very, very common throughout the Western Hemisphere. For Bolivia, Spanish fluency is required. There's a language proficiency report as part of your application. You have to evaluate yourself through the self-evaluation, and then you have to get an external evaluator to evaluate your level of Spanish. Generally, external evaluators can be language professors, the head of a language department, or someone that's qualified to teach the language, in this case, Spanish. In terms of professional profile, this is open to academics only, and if you don't have a contact in Bolivia, we make available the U.S. Embassy contact, so you can absolutely email the U.S. Embassy to get more information about developing contacts in Bolivia if you don't have them. You can also see my contact information here. So at a very bare minimum, there will always be a program staff indicated in the award. And absolutely reach out to us if you have questions, if there are nuances you're not sure about, you know, who's an appropriate language evaluator, what is something inappropriate, a host institution, etc. We are happy to hear from you, and every award at a very minimum will have program staff associated with that award. Under award benefits, we see a general idea of what could be available in terms of benefits for that particular award, and any special award benefits. So we have stipend levels, but we also have any other considerations, any other features. Throughout the Western Hemisphere, there is a regional travel award that you can apply to visit another West Hem country that participates in the regional travel award. This is designed for short-term visits, so a seminar, a conference, something of that nature. In the Canada webinar, which is archived on our website, our Canada alum who presented on that webinar discussed how he used the travel award to go to Uruguay to participate in different activities in Uruguay while his main grant was in Canada. So this is a great feature of the Western Hemisphere. The last tab we see here is the country area overview. So this will generally give an idea of how the country fits into the Fulbright program, and if there are any special information you need to know about the country, this, you can find it in the country overview. So we looked at an All Disciplines Award. Let's look into one of the Canada Research Chair Awards just to get a different perspective of a different kind of award in the Western Hemisphere. So let's look at the research chair in, say, business and economics. So again, we get the four tabs, and we get information about the Research Share Awards. So Canada Research Shares are targeted, specialized opportunities for scholars to be part of a host faculty. There are 4 grants available for this award, but they're at particular institutions, and you have under this award the ability to be hosted by one of these institutions. So, for example, Queen's University is one of the award opportunities for this award. They're looking at particular specializations that fall under the larger umbrella of business and economics. So looking at things like behavioral management or financial accounting, international business, organizational behavior, and theory. The University of Alberta is looking for general specializations in marketing, strategy, management of information systems. The University of Calgary is looking for specializations that include environmental economics, energy economics, and other specializations. And then the University of Ottawa is looking at things like the environment and the economy, environmental policy, economic policy, and other specializations. Under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation should not be sought for this award, meaning that, you know, you would apply for this award and be hosted by one of these 4 institutions. A letter of invitation is not required, but you are encouraged to contact the institution to discuss your research interests. If you don't have a contact there, the Fulbright Commission in Canada, you can absolutely email my colleagues in Canada for information about contacts at the potential host institutions. For this award, English is sufficient, although I will note in Canada, if you are proposing an affiliation with a Francophone host institution, you'll need French language ability to be commensurate with whatever the project that you're proposing. Additional information, applicants will identify host institutions in order of preference in your project statement and on the application form. You may be considered for other Fulbright Canada award opportunities as appropriate. So these Research Share Awards, they're very different than, say, the All Disciplines Awards, where there are particular themes, particular host institutions, and specific to Canada, you have the opportunity to sort of rank your choices under this award description. So if you're interested in something, in one of the Canada awards, absolutely reach out to me. They are a bit different than the All Disciplines Awards, and I'm happy to chat with you about all the nuances to the Canada Awards. I'm happy to chat with anyone that's interested in applying to the Western Hemisphere, of course, but absolutely there are a lot of nuances to the awards, and please feel free to reach out. Let's look at one more award just to, again, give a sense of what's available in the Western Hemisphere. Let's say, okay, I know I want to go to the Western Hemisphere. I'm not really sure what country, but say I'm an engineer, or say I'm a chemical engineer. Well, we don't have chemical engineering as an option, but we do have engineering. So under this search here, we're looking for Western Hemisphere and engineering. Let's see what comes up. We search awards, and we have lots of different kinds of awards. So we have a Science and Technology Award in Argentina. We have an All Disciplines Award in Barbados and Eastern Caribbean, and lots of other different kinds of awards. Just to get a sense of what a different kind of award might look like, let's look at the Postdoc Scholar Award in Natural Sciences in Brazil. Let's open that up. So for this award, I'm going to go straight to award requirements. Candidates are expected to apply within 5 years of obtaining their PhD degree. Preferences given to candidates without significant or prior experience in Brazil for this award. And in this award, we see the preferred disciplines, and they are related to the natural sciences, agriculture, biology, geography, et cetera, things related to the natural sciences. So with the catalog of awards, you can see what a powerful tool it is. I'm going to get back to the PowerPoint now, but you can see what a powerful tool the catalog of awards is and how you can use it to find information. So the application, once you've found your award, then you apply for the award. The application is nothing you haven't seen before. There's an application form online. Part of that is your project statement, which is a 5-page document where you address what you're going to do, how you hope to accomplish this, and what you feel the impact is. This is where that ambassadorial aspect comes into play. Why is this project beneficial to the country that's hosting you? Why is it beneficial to the United States? Why is it beneficial to your home institution, to your host institution? You have to have a sense of what kind of impact this project is going to have. And so that would be addressed in the project statement. We'll want a curriculum vitae or a resume, generally a 5-page document that is a CV. We'll go, for the CV, we'll take a 6-page document, but for the distinguished chairs, we'll go up to 8 pages. If you're applying for an award that features teaching, you'll want to have a course outline or syllabi, anywhere from 2 to 3 syllabi, up to 10 pages total. These can be classes that you have taught. They can be classes that you want to teach or will teach, but really we want to get a sense of your pedagogy. If you're applying for an award that features research, we'll want a bibliography. We refer to it as a bibliography, but what you can think of it is as a literature review. So what is the relevant research to your topic? This is a 3-page document. You can annotate it. You do not have to, but we want to get a sense of, are you up to date on the relevant research that's being done relating to your topic? Then you do have to have 3 letters of reference. So letters of reference should come from 3 of your strongest advocates, people that understand what you hope to do and how it fits into the Fulbright program. It's usually a good idea to have someone from your home institution in the United States to give you a letter of reference. It's usually a good idea to have a discussion, though, with your referees, whoever they are, to have a discussion with them about what you're proposing to do. I would share them a link to the award description. I would have a conversation with them and give them some context so that they have a way to write a substantive, strong letter of recommendation for you. If you're applying for a teaching award, at least one of the reference letters should address your capacity as an instructor. Then, depending on the award, there may be other additional baseline components, such as a language proficiency report. As you saw, there's a variety of requirements along the lines of letters of invitation. And then if you're applying the arts, architecture, journalism, anything that would require a work sample, you have the ability to upload that into the application as well. The project statement, I really want to spend just a second with this just to really emphasize this is the main driver of your application. This is where we get a sense of what it is you want to do and how you propose to do it. We really look at the quality of the project. We also look at the feasibility. Do you have the means to carry this project out? And then we look at the outcomes. What is the impact? What are the outcomes of this activity? Why are you applying for this country? What is it about this project that you're proposing resonates with the country? So these are ways to think about how to craft a strong and compelling project statement. I want to talk about some special award features and requirements in the Western Hemisphere very briefly because we already talked about them a little bit, but language requirements are very common in the Western Hemisphere. Quite often you'll see Spanish, Portuguese, French, or Dutch required at some level. Levels will vary by country and award. Then a special feature, as I discussed, in the Western Hemisphere, we have the Regional Travel Award, which allows you to apply for additional grant funding to go to another West Hem country while in program for a short-term visit. We discussed, to some extent, letters of affiliation, but I want to go over them just very quickly in a general way. Essentially, letters of invitation are non-binding expressions of interest from the proposed host institution. They should ideally come from the person who will be hosting you and should ideally be on institution letterhead. There are some nuances and considerations for particular awards and countries around letters of invitation. So I wanted to bring this up in general. And again, the most important information will be expressed in the award description, but you'll want to look at that information to get particular instructions and nuances, but let's look at some things at large. So some countries in the letter of invitation request that language requirements be addressed. So for example, Brazil, you'll see that, you know, your letter of invitation should include some kind of reference to the fact that your Portuguese is sufficient enough to carry out your activities. So you may or may not need any level of Portuguese as long as you're able to accomplish your goals, as long as we see a clear plan to accomplish your goals that is commensurate with your language abilities, and that the host institution can corroborate the fact that you have the language skills to carry out what you're proposing. Some countries require that the invitation letter come from a very high level administrator. So that's the case in Argentina, whereas, you know, the professor that's hosting you in their lab may not be able to write a letter of invitation, depending on the bureaucracy or the higher ed protocol in Argentina. For the Argentina award, we want the highest level administrator possible to write that award, to write that invitation letter. Some countries will make placements for some awards and not require letters of invitation. So as we saw with Canada, the Research Chair Awards, you're sort of looking at what's available and ranking your interests. You absolutely should be in touch with the host institutions to discuss your interests, but you should not include a letter of invitation. And then some of the awards, again, in Mexico, the COMEXIS, the Fulbright Commission in Mexico, will actually make placements for you. So again, you won't need to get a letter of invitation for some of West Hem countries. And for some countries, finances are required to be input in the letter of invitation. So for example, Chile, the awards in Chile require that the host institution must contribute to your grant, and that has to be written into the letter of invitation. So submitting a competitive application, we've sort of gone over this throughout the whole webinar, but I want to very quickly summarize it. You want to address that Fulbright goal of promoting mutual understanding. You want to explain why you're interested in this particular country, how this resonates with this country. You want to understand what the award is looking for in terms of an academic and professional profile and how you fit into that. And you also want to focus on, you know, what are the outcomes? What is the impact? How is this good for all stakeholders involved? If you can address that in your project statement, you're in good shape to submit a strong application. In terms of review criteria, for teaching, we want to find that resonance. We want to find a match of academic professional profile. We want to get a sense of what your teaching ability is and how it resonates with the award requirements. We want to understand, you know, the quality of your proposal and the feasibility of it. You know, is it something that you can accomplish? And again, what are the outcomes? For research awards, we want to look at the intellectual merits. How suitable is this for the country? How feasible is it? Is it something that the country can host you to do? Is the host institution excited about having you, you know, accomplish these goals and conduct this project at their institution? Is there a need for you to be in that country? If your proposal could be done anywhere in the world, that's not as strong as a proposal as something that has to be done in Guatemala, for example. And then again, you really want to work closely with your host institution. Whether or not an invitation letter is required, you really want to understand if they're excited, if they are able to host you to do this project. So, you know, these are very nuanced criteria, very nuanced considerations. So absolutely, if you're confused or you want to talk things through, absolutely reach out to us. But these are very, very broad considerations on making a strong application. And then, of course, if you're applying for teaching and research, these review criteria will be combined. This is a quick overview of our process. So our deadline is August 1st. Once you submit your application, we receive the application, and we go through a technical screen, and then we send your applications to peer review. You are reviewed by committees that are focused on discipline, and then you're also reviewed by committees that are focused on the country or region. So your peers in your field will read your application, but then specialists in the particular country will also read that application. What this should tell you is that in your five-page proposal statement, you have to write for different audiences. So you have to write something that's specific enough and has enough quality for your particular discipline, but that isn't so caught up in discipline-specific language that a generalist may get lost. I always recommend applicants to get feedback from your peers. Get feedback from your colleagues. Have someone that's not in your discipline read your proposal statement. Have someone that is in your discipline read your proposal statement and have them give you feedback. Have them help you understand, is it too specific? Is it not specific enough? It's finding that sweet spot for the discipline-specific committee and also the regional committee. That's what also helps refine and strengthen an application. We let you know if you make it through peer review, generally between November and January. And then after peer review, your applications go to the countries themselves with the final decision made by the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. Grantees are notified anywhere between February and May of the final approvals, and generally grant activities can start as soon as June of the following year. I won't spend too much time on this slide other than to say we have lots of resources for the application. You are not alone when you're applying for a Fulbright Scholar Grant. We break down every aspect of the application. We provide application guidelines, project statement guidance, even samples of project statements. We give you all the guidelines around resume formatting, syllabi, the bibliography. We really break down every aspect of the application. It's all available on our website. And what I'll do, I'll follow up with everyone who registered for this webinar. We archive our webinars, and once we have archived this webinar, I'll send you some digital resources that sort of articulate where you can find different things on our website. We also have the Fulbright Scholar blog, which is a great way to get inspiration to see things that folks have done. What is it like to bring your family somewhere, for example, or what is it like to do this kind of research in this country? There's lots of great stories on the Fulbright Scholar blog. And then we have My Fulbright, which is CIES2.org, a way for you to sign up to receive information from us based on your interests. So if you have a particular country or discipline interest, that's a great way to stay connected with us and receive very particular information. So again, I want to include some ways to stay in touch with us. I'm going to get to questions in just a second. But again, myfulbrightcis2.org, that's a way to indicate your interest and receive very focused messaging from us about particular opportunities and events. Absolutely email me at westhem@iie.org if you have questions or want to talk through any particular awards or anything about the Western Hemisphere, really feel free to reach out to me. You can visit our website to learn more about the Fulbright program in general. We even have a referral program where you can actually refer your colleagues if you think someone might be interested and might be a good fit for Fulbright. There's a way for you to communicate that to us. We're, of course, available on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, lots and lots of ways to stay in touch with us. So, but again, do feel free to reach out to me at westhem@iie.org for any information on the Western Hemisphere. I'm going to answer questions now, but if you don't think of something now, or if I don't get to something, I absolutely welcome you to reach out to me. So at this point, I'm going to pull up the questions that have been asked, and I'm going to make my way through them, but please continue to chat in questions. We have almost 20 minutes to answer questions and still end the webinar on time, but I'm happy to take questions. And again, if we don't get to your question, feel free to email me. Question, do the Research Chair Awards require a PhD? For the most part, yes, but some awards, again, may not require a PhD. That's something that you can find in the award description. For programs that don't require a PhD, I'm curious, should someone have support from their place of work? That's a great question. If you're not in academia, you're applying as a practitioner, and many of our awards are appropriate for practitioners, absolutely. I would absolutely expect that your place of work would write one of the letters of recommendation for you. So I think, yes, in that sense, in that sense, you would receive support. I don't know if you are working and your job will have leave policy. That's something that you would have to obviously discuss with your ways of employment. That also works for academics as well. But again, I would imagine a practitioner outside of academia who's applying to an award, I would expect someone from their employment to write one of the letters of invitation. How many awards go to Chile and Uruguay and all disciplines in education? This is great information that can be found in the award description. So you'll want to pull up the awards that you're interested in, and they'll actually tell you how many grants are available. I don't know all of this off the top of my head. So I'm going to pull this up on my own just to get a quick sense and answer that question. So in Chile, for example, there are the two different awards. There's the three awards, rather, the Science and Tech Award, the Social Sciences Award, and the Astronomy Postdoc Award. For the Science and Tech, for example, there are up to 10 grants under that award, meaning that 10 people can be funded under that award. So you'll find that information in the general award details for that grant. But again, we saw a wide variety. We saw Bolivia had just a few grants under that award, but then we saw the Brazil All Disciplines Award having 30 grants, meaning that 30 people can be funded for that award. So there's a wide variety of opportunities. Can TEFL, can Teaching English as a Foreign Language be part of all disciplines? Absolutely. Actually, in the Western Hemisphere, there's a lot of interest in teaching English as a foreign language. We have an award in Mexico specifically dedicated to that, and many of our all disciplines awards can include or will support projects in TEFL. So that is great. That's a great question, and you can find that information in the award description. TEFL is one of our discipline search functions, and you can absolutely pull that up. And we actually, tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m., we have a webinar specifically on opportunities in education and teaching English as a foreign language throughout the catalog. So this webinar is focused on a region. Tomorrow, our webinar is focused on a particular set of disciplines, education and TEFL. So if you can make that webinar, that's great. I'll follow up with that person who asked about TEFL with the webinar invitation for tomorrow. Question about letter of invitation. If a letter of invitation is not required, is it still helpful for the application submittal process to include a letter or letters suggesting that you've already verbally made or have had contacts with the host country? This is a great question, and this, again, will vary by award. When an award says letter of invitation should not be sought, that is, you should not include that, but many of our awards will say letter of invitation optional or preferred or not required. I think in general, it's always a good idea to have a conversation about what you're proposing to do, and if the host institution is excited about hosting you to do that. So is there a resonance with what you're proposing? Do they want you to do this? Can they host you to do this? So even if you're not getting a letter of invitation, you definitely want to make contact with the potential host institution and get a sense of what they're looking for. Why are our awards, why do they have so many different parameters? Why are there so many different disciplines that are preferred? Why are there specific host institutions? This is coming from the countries themselves. So part of that impact, part of that connection, part of that mutual understanding is the fact that the countries have identified through the Fulbright program what are their needs. And ideally, your project fits into their needs. So having a discussion with your host institution is always a good idea, whether or not the award requires a letter of invitation. So I have a great question. There are 55 total awards, but are 30 of them in Brazil? So this is a great question, and I want to just point out the difference in the Fulbright glossary between award and grant. So award means, award is an opportunity, and grants are an instance of the opportunity. So for example, there is one All Disciplines Award in Brazil, but there are 30 grants under that award, meaning that for that one award, 30 people can go to Brazil on that award. So I hope that's clear. An award refers to an opportunity, a grant refers to an instance of that opportunity, and there can be multiple grants under each award. Okay. I currently would classify as a scholar at large with an advanced degree in professional working in the non-academic business sector. What is a distinguished scholar? Is it those affiliated with academia? Again, this is going to really depend on the award. So you'll want to dig through the award description and look at the profile and under award requirements to see if your profile resonates with that award. Many of our awards are open to scholars emeritus, retired scholars, independent scholars, practitioners outside of academia. That will be written into the award description. And again, if you find an award of interest but you're not sure if your profile fits into it, absolutely reach out to me. I'm happy to walk you through that. Okay, if you're just interested in completing research and it says there are opportunities in all public and private institutions of higher education or NGOs and research center, how do you go about planning for a research project? Do you try to identify a place you want to conduct research or keep it broad? So this is a question, again, you have particular parameters to your research. You want to make sure that those parameters fit into the award description. Many of our awards are open to having host institutions be research centers, cultural institutions, NGOs, for example. But it's really, it depends on the award descriptions. It's really, paying attention to what the award's looking for and does your research resonate with it. I want to emphasize, though, for research projects, for teaching projects, for any Fulbright award, you really, really want to understand what the potential impact is and ground your project in the sense that as a Fulbright, if you're an ambassador, you should be able to articulate why your research is beneficial to the U.S. and to the host country. So that's something that, and what the outcomes of your research are. So that's something that you really want to emphasize and address in your proposal. Okay, I'm going to scroll through questions, but we still have some time, so absolutely feel free to keep in writing in questions. So is there a specific format for letters of invitation? Generally, no. They unless the award requires something specific. So, example, for Brazil, as we discussed, they'll want to address your language ability. For Argentina, it should come from the highest ranking official in the institution possible. There are particularities, but depending on the award, but generally, no, there are sort of non-binding expressions of interest. Unless the award specifically says the letter of invitation should address a particular parameter, they're pretty open-ended. We understand that it can be difficult to mandate a particular format in whatever system of higher education. So we as long as you cover the basis of what the award requires, that it's generally fine. You'll see in a lot of awards that offer teaching and research in the Western Hemisphere, there may be a particular proportion of teaching to research that should be addressed in the letter of invitation. So for example, in Jamaica, they want a 60-40-10 breakdown of teaching to research to outreach. I believe that's the proportion. I may be wrong, but the particular nuances will be expressed in the award description. So you'll want the letter of invitation to resonate with that proportion of activity. Another sort of tie-in question about Chile. Chile does require that the host institution contribute funding to the Fulbright grant, and that should be in your letter of invitation. We don't really have a particular format or verbiage around that. It's however the institution in Chile is comfortable expressing that, but that should be expressed in the letter of invitation. Can I define early career? So early career is generally within 3 years or 5 years, depending. So if there are particular parameters around that, that'll be expressed in the award description, but a good general guideline is anywhere between 3 to 5 years of your career. is it rare for someone to be approved for a grant without a letter of invitation when it's preferred? That's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head that it hasn't happened, but to optimize your chances, especially if there are only a few grants available under the award, I would absolutely try to get a letter of invitation as much as you can. There's a nuance between, there are some awards that express it as a letter of invitation is preferred, then there are others that express it as a letter of invitation is strongly preferred. I always think if you can get a letter of invitation, even if it's not required, unless the award absolutely says do not seek one, I think getting a letter of invitation helps strengthen your application and helps show that the institution is interested and able to host you for that project. Do I suggest one of the reference letters come from the host institution? That's tricky. So you can have someone from the host institution write a letter of invitation, so from the institution overseas, but it cannot be the person that is actually hosting you. So if Professor X is hosting you at the university, Professor Y can write a letter of recommendation, but Professor X, who's writing the letter of invitation, should not write one of the three letters of recommendation. We have questions around competitiveness. This is a good question. For the U.S. student program, we actually published statistics. We don't do this for the scholar program. And with the scholar program, as we've seen in this webinar, the awards, you know, we have about 470 awards available. They are all very, very different. And I feel that statistics, they're not so helpful. If we have 5 grants available for one award and we get 8 applications that aren't good fits for that award, the likelihood is that we won't give any applications. So it's sort of, it's not helpful to publish the statistics in that regard. I think the way to make a strong application is to optimize your application, understanding the parameters of the award, what kinds of activity and disciplines it supports, what profile it's looking for, and how you fit into that. So that's something that's really, really key. If there are nuances or questions about particular awards, I'm happy to meet with you. If you've applied before and you weren't recommended, I'm also happy to have a meeting with you and discuss how to optimize your application for a future competition. But you know, again, it's really about finding the right fit for you and putting forth the strongest application you can. We have a question about letters of reference. We absolutely want 3 letters of reference. I see that there are awards directed at early career and those that are well established. Are there also awards specifically for mid-career scholars? Not specifically for mid-career scholars, but most of our awards are open to a wide range of career profiles. Generally, there are some postdoc awards and some distinguished chair awards, but many of our awards are open to folks in the middle of their career. So we do separate out the postdocs and the sort of distinguished chairs. So great question about the postdoc in Canada. It's the host institution for that is the University of Northern British Columbia. There is not another option, so you must affiliate with the University of Northern British Columbia. All right, I'm scrolling through. There are a lot of questions, and what I'm going to do is I don't have time to answer all of them on this webinar, but I'm going to try to answer just a few quick ones, and for whoever I didn't get to your question, I will absolutely try to email you. But if I don't reach you and you have a question that I didn't get to, absolutely please contact me, westham@iae.org. But I'm going to try to answer a few questions really quickly. Do I need a language proficiency test if I'm applying to a Spanish-speaking country and I'm a native Spanish speaker? So the answer is yes, but you only need the self-evaluation. So you will not need, if you're a native speaker of Spanish and you're applying to a Spanish-speaking country that requires a language proficiency report, all you have to do is a self-evaluation and indicate that you're a native speaker. You will not need a external evaluation. Can I apply for a teaching award in a country outside of my immediate research experience? You absolutely can, but you have to understand how your profile and your project fits into that country. If you don't have a plan to, that it speaks to the feasibility of your project, whatever the parameters and variables may be, that's not going to be as strong an application as something that, is articulated well and that we can see has the potential to be successful. Question about the Venezuela Award. We are working on getting that in our catalog. Stay tuned for that. Absolutely reach out to me if you have questions about that in the meantime. Should letters of recommendation come from people who have served in a supervisory role to you? They can. They don't necessarily have to, but ideally they should be someone that can really speak to why you're a good fit for the Fulbright program. Generally, they are professional and academic in nature. What is a distinguished chair? What does distinguished mean? That will be unpacked in the award description. What if you're a U.S. student reading at a European institution? So the awards that we focused on, the program that I'm focusing on today is the Fulbright U.S. Scholar with a capital S program. If you are a U.S. student, you may be interested in the Fulbright U.S. Student program. So that's a different program. I will follow up with the person that asked that question with some resources around the Fulbright U.S. Student program. But with this, we've come to just over the end of the hour. I want to thank everyone for attending this webinar. Again, I'm going to follow up with everyone. We will archive this webinar shortly, and I'll follow up with everyone with some general resources. But, absolutely feel free to reach out to me, westhem@iie.org. If I didn't get to your questions, we are excited about the opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. We look forward to receiving your applications, and absolutely feel free to stay in touch and let us know if there's anything we can do to help. Thanks so much, everyone, and have a great day.